Here we go. Rolling sound. Quiet.
It's not complicated. Call it creative. Call it art. Call it design. It's the Design Coach on Lake 96.1, sponsored by Bob's Floor Covering and Stone Leaf Remodeling.
Hey, Mel.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm great. How about yourself?
You're very festive, springy.
It's Mother's Day.
Right? Happy yeah, Mother's Day, everyone.
Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh.
Can you believe it? May 13th already.
No. And I want to wish my wife an amazing and happy Mother's Day. She does so much for our family, and she's just absolutely amazing. She's amazing. So to all the mothers out there, thank you for everything that you do. And speaking of nurturing, which is the topic of today's show.
Nurturing is.
Well, sort of.
Okay.
In a way.
Okay.
I got a lot.
You have a lot.
I got a lot rattling around in the noodle today. Okay.
You were so subdued when you came in.
I know, but because I've blossomed, which again is also the topic of today's show, because I planted. You know, the weather has been so nice.
Oh. Yes.
And as is often the case with, me. In general, because that's kind of what the show is about.
Right, this is your
me
show.
Me and you and us and all these connection points. I oftentimes will make these connections between something that maybe something that is significant in my life or something that's significant in my, you know, scope or sphere, and then connections to relatively meaningless activities. Like, and I find synergy there. Like, I don't know why this happens to me. But it happens to me a lot. Like, something significant will happen in my life, and then a very simple activity that I will engage in, I will find all of these connection points that then I feel compelled to share. And maybe there is no better day than Mother's Day to talk about, you know, the sensibilities and the connection points between growing and nurturing something, transplanting something, watching something grow when it's in its infancy. Right. And then bringing it and watching it just blossom. And so on Mother's Day, I can't imagine a better topic than maybe to reference the blog that I actually posted last Sunday. And I did something I almost never do.
What?
Well,
what?
So I write these blogs and I'm not a professional blogger.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm just not. And when I have something that I feel is relevant, I will pen it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I will put it on paper. And oftentimes it's just so that I can share a thought that maybe I can't any other way. Maybe, you know, I can't do it in like 140 characters on Twitter.
Exactly.
Or I can't Instagram. Like, so blogging is the only way for maybe to really have people absorb the words that I'm saying. Because when I'm on the radio, you know me, I'm it's a free exchange of information and ideas. And I don't always technically, I think, communicate, and this is me critiquing myself every Sunday. You know, when I listen back, I don't always know that I do a great job communicating as effectively as I could be, and writing is a great way to do that.
It's also so therapeutic.
Absolutely.
For
and
sure.
and you can edit, and it's a chance for you to use your English skills.
Mm-hmm.
to use your, you know, not your acronyms or
mm-hmm.
your You follow me? Like, your
yes.
text lingo that
right.
everyone gets so comfortable using, that you actually have to find a way to craft sentences with the English language, and it can be therapeutic, and it can be beautiful at the same time. And the topic that I was referencing was, you know, I made reference to last weekend's show about the experience that I had at Badger High School with the students, and how great of an experience it was to go and sort of share my broken road experience with them. And because I oftentimes feel like a lot of our journeys are not perfect. In fact, most of our journeys are not perfect. A lot of our journeys are made up of doors that close and other ones that open, and windows that we think we have of opportunity and windows that close very quickly for whatever reason.
Exactly.
And so oftentimes the most important paths are the ones that actually lead you to blaze your own trail where there was no path. In other words, the path ends and you're kind of stuck. And you're looking around and you're saying to yourself, well, now what? You know, do I follow someone else's path? Do I just take the easy way, or do I blaze a trail? And so this was the topic of conversation as I visited with the students a couple weeks ago. So that was on my mind all weekend, about how great of an experience that was, because compounded with that was the great experience that I had had watching my own kids involved in the musical at Catholic Central High School, Thoroughly Modern Millie, where, you know, both of them really kind of took a step up in their ability to sort of share themselves artistically, which as an artist, nothing made Julie and I more proud, right, than to see maybe Luke, who has not been known traditionally for his acting or his singing. I mean, I don't even think the boy has sung since like he was like forced to in like grade school. Do you follow me? Like,
yes.
It's just not something. I mean, I'm sure he sings in the car, but to perform in front of people and to see him act, and then to see Mia take that next step with her beautiful voice and the way that she was kind of mirroring that with, I think she had been hesitant. She's always seen herself as a singer, but now she had to act, and I hadn't seen that before. So my own kids were blossoming in front of me. And so that blossom kind of concept and helping other kids grow was where this was all kind of coming together. Are you following my train of thought? Like, so I'm thinking about helping kids grow, and I'm thinking about trying to impart knowledge, and I'm thinking about trying to enrich their soil so that you can fertilize their mind. And that's what teachers are trying to do. And that's what mothers are trying to do. And that's what mentors are trying to do. And all these people are trying to do this. And I'm gardening. And in a way, I'm just doing the physical manifestation of that same activity, right? I'm making decisions on where to plant what kind of flower, mm-hmm. and what situation and conditions are right for each decision that I was making. Because I'm taking my landscaping to the next level. And so as I was doing that, I referenced a blog that I had written back in 2016. And I had never done that. I had never like picked up a blog from 2 years and then be like, oh, and then there's more. And this is where my mind was
interesting.
And the blog from a few years ago was 5 life lessons learned from merely watering the garden. That was the blog from 2016. And if you go to thedesigncoach.com, you can look that blog up, and it's a great primer for our discussion today, because it just talked about some things that were, at the time I wrote it, I don't know, have you always been into like planting and gardening, and like, is that always, have you had a green thumb? Is that?
I wouldn't say I have a green thumb, but I grew up with my mom planting large gardens, a lot of flowers, okay. and that type of thing. So I was around it as a young child.
I was around it as well, but it wasn't a part of my being.
Like, I see.
You know, we lived in a suburban area, mm-hmm. so you planted things. And you had house plants. Mm-hmm. And every now and again, we'd go to our relative's farm in Indiana, and you'd see things being planted. But you never... It wasn't a part of me until we landed where we landed. When we moved from suburban Illinois and we landed on our 10-acre, for lack of a better term, I green-acred my family, mm-hmm. and brought them up to sort of the Lake Geneva, you know, northern Illinois, southern Wisconsin area, that I really understood how great and how deep and how special and how therapeutic, you mentioned writing, how therapeutic this landscaping kind of activity could really be. And I'm not referring necessarily to the hard stuff, like hardscaping or making beds or mulching. You know, those are sort of like decorative chores. And to be quite honest with you, I'm at a point now where I used to do those things. I hire out for some of the heavier lifting because it's just me.
Sure.
Like I'm not going to come onto the radio and tell you my whole family is, you know, like fixer-upper. You know, we're mm-hmm. not like all feeding chickens, and you know, I don't have a hobby farm. Mm-hmm. Like I have a property that I didn't really get sort of conservation and growth of plant life. I know that sounds really clinical, but this is where I'm going. Like I was even more aware of my surroundings when I had a property that I had to maintain and that I had to watch and that I had to sculpt and curate. And so I kind of come to the green thumb thing a lot later in life, maybe than most people. You know, I'm sure that there are people who have master gardeners for mothers and or
sure.
fathers, and they've grown over. I didn't do that. I've had to be my own student, making mistakes like I make on canvas, mm-hmm. to try to figure out what works for me. And there's a lot of life lessons there for me. So that was what inspired the first blog. Well, as I was in this sort of nurturing mode and I was, you know, sort of trying to impart knowledge to especially not even the high school kids, but also my new team members. You know, I told you that I brought on two new team members.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And they're both doing such a phenomenal job and they're really trying to learn from me and I'm really trying to learn from them and I'm trying to be a better manager, you know, because that's not intuitive necessarily to the artist. And it can be a difficult thing, right? You can be very creative, but you can be a horrible manager of mm-hmm. people. I'm trying to become a better manager of people. You know, improve my clarity, improve my direction, try not to overload people. I mean, I am a fountain of information and ideas. So sometimes I need the spigot at like a 2, right?
Exactly.
And sometimes I fire hose them in the face.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is where I'm at today for today's show on Mother's Day. I'm trying to make these connections. And throughout the course of the show today, I'm going to make these connections about how we nurture this spring and how we nurture each other and how we nurture our surroundings is one of the most important activities we can do or we can partake in if we only try. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1.
The Design Coach is back on Lake 96.1, sponsored by Stoneleaf Remodeling.
Oh, Mel. Listen, I'm going to make you guys a promise this morning. And here's the Here's the promise.
Should I write this down?
No.
Okay. All right.
No.
I'm just wondering.
I mean, no.
I was really kidding.
I know. Well, maybe. Grab a pen, everyone. No. For the next 33 minutes, try to dial in with me and stay with me on this topic. I can promise you that I believe it is of tremendous benefit and that this is one of the most important topics I think I've covered in a really long time. And I think a lot of people are going to say, well, what in the world does nurturing have to do with design? And I'm going to tell you it has everything to do with design. The amount of creativity, energy, effort, love, passion, purpose, all of those things that you believe that you want to bring to your interiors find themselves in design in some way, shape, or form. Selections, process, the journey, all of that to me is really important. You know, I don't just talk about decorating on this show. That's a part of what we do, but decorating and the aesthetics of everything is to me the end result of you planting your own visual design garden, right? Like your interiors are your design garden. You know, you have big pieces which might represent shrubs and trees. You have small details of small little flowers that might represent accessories. I mean, there are tons of connection points that I can make between design and a garden and the energy and effort that it takes to nurture and grow great experiences and great spaces. And so this is sort of where I want to live today. I want to live in that space and talk about it with you, because I feel like so oftentimes we are in such a rush and a hurry and a distracted mentality that we just miss so much stuff. We miss a ton of stuff because we're just distracted like all the time. And as I was sort of reviewing this topic with my team and thinking about kind of, you know, what did I want to really talk about? And, you know, I talked about the fact that, you know, when you're on our property, you know, we have neighbors, but they're not particularly close. We're on 10 acres and there's a lot of quiet time. And there's a lot of time to just sort of think and reflect. And I don't know that if you have a peaceful environment, right, that it can be very difficult. I think just in the quiet of your own mind. I don't want to say I hear voices. I don't want to say that. Although I do discover new voices all the time that I have to use on the radio, and I'm not quite sure what to do with these voices. Like, this is a new voice. I don't know what to do with this voice. It's amazing. It's great. It's phenomenal. It's fantastic. Like, I don't know who he or she is.
It sounds a little like Joe Pesci, just a tiny bit.
I don't know. It's fantastic, but I love it. I'm going to use it when I need to talk quickly. I need to talk fast about a topic. I don't know. It's just a thing.
Yeah,
I told my daughter I would use it on the radio. There you go.
Oh, there you go.
I'm just saying it's fantastic. It's amazing. But sure, trust me, he'll come back. But you're right, it's a little Joe Pesci. But what I'm saying is, in the quiet of your mind, when you're just doing an activity that you know is not so labor intensive that you're struggling, but it's a combination of sort of care and diligence and physical labor that a lot of times there's just this peace that allows messaging and the universe to sort of fire things in your brain. And if you're not giving yourself quiet time, and one of the things I always love about the Geneva Lakes area is that there's so many places where you can just go for a walk. And maybe on Mother's Day, in order to connect, maybe just, you know, it doesn't always have to be about the flowers or the gift, right? Sometimes it's just about the time and the effort. And, you know, I always think about that quote, I think it's from Walt Whitman, that says, "We were together, I forget the rest." Like, just be together. And, you know, go for a walk. Maybe do some things you wouldn't normally do to try to find a way to let the emotions, the feelings, the really deep, true thoughts kind of come to the surface and not get suppressed by schedule or suppressed by demand, right? Or get stressed by money or whatever it is that keeps you from feeling real things. And I think as I started this activity, and it, like all things, it starts with like, okay, the foundation for my landscaping was all set. And I decided to use a couple of different flowers that were successful last year that were really beneficial. And so this year, unlike years past, I was really trying to be a student of what I was selecting. And anybody who's going through this, I can tell you, you know those little cards that they stick into the plant?
Oh, sure. Tells you what they are and how much light
I doubt
they need.
Most people really read mm-hmm. them. Like you look at like full sun, partial sun.
Right.
Like you look at the basics, right? So you're just trying to like, because let's be really honest. Like there are times when it's like we have to go get plants from Home Depot or Lowe's or Pesci's or wherever. I don't know that I really want to do it, but if you're going to do that activity, be a student of it. Because what I made one of the connections in my blog, and the name of the blog, and I'll tell it to everyone now. It's you're never going to guess what else I dug up in the garden, and it was numbers 6 through 10, right? Lessons learned from watering the garden, and it's a continuation of a blog that I actually wrote. Believe this, Mel, I wrote it back in 2016. And it just kind of came to the surface as I was going through this exercise of sort of planting. I didn't do all the planting because mm-hmm. I don't like to do that. I like to like sort of pick an area, try to pick the condition, and then match it with the right kind of plant, flower, shrub, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like this was the year I could really kind of build on my knowledge. And this was the year I was a student of my craft that I'm trying to be good at, which is pairing the right conditions with the right plant. And then the analogy just flooded to me and said, well, that's a lot like people. That oftentimes just finding a place where you can sink your roots in that is nurturing fertile soil for you and putting yourself in those environments, or more importantly, on the nurturing side, trying to do that for someone else, whether it's an aging mom or dad, or it's a child, or a brother or sister who needs help. You know, it's not exclusive, I think, to maybe young plants, because transplanting, I think, is a topic that we all do. I mean, you moved from a new area to take a
right.
job here. You know, you were brand new, you know.
Right.
I think one of the interesting things about moving somewhere new is, aren't your receptors really on when you try and experience something new? And that was one of the things that I was trying to communicate to the high school students was, try new things. And here I was, sitting in the audience, watching my son and daughter try new things because Julie and I had tried to create an environment where they felt comfortable taking some risk in trying something new. Even though I knew, listen, it absolutely, there have been times when we've done this and it's absolutely failed, but they've always learned something about themselves. Whether it was they didn't give max effort or they held on a little bit too tight. I guess the point was is that failure is as valuable or more valuable than oftentimes success, is provided that you don't let failure keep you from transplanting and looking towards the positive. And that's what I have found over my years of planting and doing the garden stuff was, listen, I've put plants in the wrong spot and they've died. I've forgotten to water things and I could not save them, right? I've done that. I've planted too early and been too anxious mm-hmm. and they frost and they killed them. And now I've learned to be more patient. I've learned to be a student of this process in the garden. And there's an analogy to doing the same and applying the same things to your life. And that's what, that's where the next six of the five came from. And so I was likening the experience to, you know, when I, when we moved out to Harvard, you know, the land demands things of you. In other words, folks, stuff grows.
And it does.
And you've heard me say that it grows at a Jurassic level. Like, it does. Like, it just grows. Like, I can literally show you barren land. We're like, no, there's all this fantastic stuff. Those amazing things are like coming out of the ground that before you were, you thought you were mowing dirt and that nothing was in that soil. I am here to tell you, no, no, no. There's huckleberry bushes that were in that soil I was mowing over that now I see growing 10 feet tall. I wouldn't have known it had I not been patient enough to let that area grow, to give it space. Have you heard of this thing, free range parenting? This is a new thing.
Oh, I have.
You have?
Yes.
And the funniest thing is free-range parenting, it's just called 1975.
You're right.
No, I, like, why do you have to make a name for it? Like,
everything has to have a label anymore. Don't you
free
think
range, now it's they're not chickens.
Reinventing.
No, but they're not chickens.
Right,
like,
exactly.
Free-range parenting. Free range. Like, I was almost like a little bit like, come on. Like,
you're right. It reminds me of like a,
but
a chicken
is
coop.
Where you, this is where the balance point needs to come in. The balance point is you have to be patient enough to let things grow. But you can only do that if you've fertilized the soil. In other words, if you've given people the right foundation on which to go find their path and grow. The problem is, I'm finding these days, people aren't putting in the time to really build great foundations. They're just assuming that it will happen. Or they're assuming people will pick it up. Or they're just assuming that the universe is going to provide that when it's really something that needs to be nurtured, taught, cultured, discussed, encouraged. It takes effort. And so when we come back from the break, I'm really going to dig into this blog about this nurturing aspect. And I can't think of a better topic on Mother's Day than to let you know how wonderful it is, the selflessness and the absolute dedication that it takes to be a mother. And I can't imagine a better backdrop for this discussion than today. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1.
The Design Coach is back on Lake 96.1, sponsored by Bob's Floor Covering, tile, stone, laminate, vinyl, and more.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sisano. I'm trying to be as focused, Mel, today as I possibly can be.
You are.
And I'm trying to do what I referred to in one of the points in my blog, which is rather than turn the spigot on of words so quickly that you don't give people time to absorb what you're trying to say, right? So oftentimes we're so obsessed with getting our point across that we don't take the time to actually maybe determine whether or not the tone, the way, the approach we're taking is allowing our words to really sink in and get down to the roots. Another analogy. You know, we shout at each other, we yell at each other, we try to convince each other, and we're always, always selling. We're always trying to convince somebody that maybe our way of doing something or our way of thinking about something is the right way, when oftentimes nature might be giving you another message. It might be telling you something different. And there's a faith-based component to this piece of it, but I think the way that I would like to frame that is sort of just opening your mind up to listening to what maybe the feedback is that you're getting as a way to maybe make corrections within the way you're thinking about something or approaching something. And the garden's a lot like that. You know, you want things when you're doing this activity. And today's topic on Mother's Day, we're talking about nurturing both the inside our minds and our interiors and our exterior. But, you know, you want things to grow much faster than a lot of times they're capable of growing.
Exactly.
I mean, isn't that a total analogy for a child? You know, and sometimes it's the reverse. Sometimes you don't want them to grow. You'd rather have them not grow up at all. Right? You'd rather just,
right, you, just
you
want
know,
them
you,
to stay.
You want to lock them in at nine.
Right. A
you
certain
know?
Size. And
or whatever age you romanticize, you know,
exactly.
You whatever romantic age you think that you want them to forever be.
Right.
But yet, if you've laid the right foundation, it can be so nourishing for you. Because remember, in the beginning, when you're planting and you're getting your hands dirty or you're raising a kid, it's messy. You know, there's a lot of analogies between mm-hmm. planting and then raising a young child.
Absolutely.
They're messy. They're very messy, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
From diapers to dirt, they're messy. And so oftentimes what you're instilling in them, you don't have a payoff till much later. Well, that's a lot like growing things in the garden, that your payoff on something might not come for a while. And so as I was engaging in this activity over the weekend, I just was making these analogies. And I thought about the fact that one of the things that is interesting about the garden and the exterior is that it's full of really strange anomalies. And I've always felt like a Martian. Like I make reference in the blog that I have always felt like just really different, you know, for the way that I think and the way that I speak and the way that I approach things. I've never felt like I really fit in anywhere until I got to a place where I'm living now, where obviously my family loves me and accepts me. And, you know, maybe that's probably why I'm with Julie, because she gets me.
She gets you.
She gets me, and I will love her forever for that, right? Just amongst other things. But I think about the fact that when I'm in that space planting and I'm engaging in this activity, that I feel kind of at peace with kind of who I am, that I'm sort of giving something to my environment. And it's not about me. It's about kind of like what I'm outputting, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
And so as I was thinking about that, I've never really felt like I was at home. And when I was talking to the high school students, I got that sense from a lot of them that in high school, don't you feel like an alien already? You know, that life is messy and you're trying to figure yourself out. You're trying to find your place in the garden of life. You know, that's what you're trying and attempting to do, that you're just, mm-hmm. you're trying to find out what you should be and what is your purpose. And I was explaining to the kids that oftentimes your purpose throughout life changes. You know, when I was a young professional with no kids, I was merely just trying to be good at my craft, and I didn't have any responsibilities or obligations other than to my wife. And it was just Julie and I kind of going through it together, which was awesome. But it wasn't until I had a child that I realized this entire other universe opened up for me emotionally and mentally, because I now was responsible for someone else other than Julie and myself. Like,
a life was dependent on you.
A life was dependent mm-hmm. upon me. And that came with a certain amount of responsibility, but it also came with a certain amount of pressure. And it was how you responded to that that made the difference. And I was talking to them about running at things instead of running away things. And that my road I felt invisible in high school. You know, I mean, I wasn't, you know, a valedictorian of my class, or I can't say that I was a particularly great athlete. I liked athletics.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned to be good at things because of one thing and one thing only. And it was funny. I referenced, you know, my career path has been a little bit like Rascal Flatts, The Broken Road. God mm-hmm. bless The Broken Road, where, you know, things have ended in my life and I sort of shrugged my shoulders. But rather than sort of get upset about it or depressed about it, I found a new way to create something different. And maybe that's the artistic sensibility in me, that I always feel like every day is a blank canvas and that I can always change and improve every day. And as long as the sun was coming up, there was a chance to start over, right?
Absolutely.
And I think a lot of us feel that way sometimes about our parents. You know, like, you go through life, and especially maybe on Mother's Day, where you're sort of feeling like, you know, maybe you've been a little bit of estranged from your parents, and maybe you haven't talked a lot. But, you know, time heals a lot of things, and sometimes making the connection back can maybe bring the good things back to the surface that maybe you really appreciate. And so there's another little aside that I'm all of a sudden on also, but as I likened my life to this broken road, I was making this analogy for them that says, you know, that as long as you have a work ethic, the work ethic is the ladder on which your next opportunities are built. Like the work ethic fertilizes the soil for the next opportunity. So I was commenting to them that no job was too small. And in the blog, I say this. And if you go to thedesigncoach.com and you just go to my blog, which is you're never going to know or guess what else I dug up in the garden, which is these six new things. I was making the comment that, you know, that you really have to think about that no job is too small, because something is to be learned from every activity. Even if what's to be learned is finish it well, get it done, so maybe you try to go grab the next opportunity. But if we just complain about the opportunity that we're currently engaged in, or job we have, and we complain about it, and we just wallow. In a way, there's a lot of rot there.
Oh, there is.
You rot. Unless you try to make the best of these situations. And what you're going to find is that if you flip the switch in your mind and you start to make the best out of these situations, you'll start to work becomes a little bit easier. People start to open up and opportunities do as well. And that's, as I sort of bounce between the high school student speech, my kids, and the garden, which is kind of where I'm at today. I wanted to say that, you know, lastly, as you, the professional development, both personally and professionally, that you have to be two things. You have to not only be your biggest cheerleader, but it is so important to be your biggest critic. See, I think we have a lot of people who just want to be their own cheerleader, or you have a lot of people who only want to be a critic of themselves and other people. And you need a balance of both, because what I was explaining in the blog and what I was attempting to explain to the high school students was that the strength to persevere, right, the confidence, came from me knowing that I could do it even when other people told me that I could not.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to encourage myself and have the confidence in myself to keep going when everybody around me was telling me that maybe this wasn't for me. Haha. But at the same time, if that was true, I needed to be a critic on the other side to say, well, you know what? Maybe there's another path for me. Or how do I really improve? And I find that you need a balance of both in your mind, that you need to be, and especially when you're gardening, you need to be the, oh my gosh, there's some amazing things happening in this part,
mm-hmm.
but why aren't these things growing? What is the feedback that I'm getting from life that needs me to change my approach and what I'm doing? And so if you don't have the critical side, if you don't have, you've heard me talk about the self sort of diagnostic,
yes,
where you have to evaluate whether or not you were being a jerk, difficult, overbearing, controlling, rude, obnoxious, indifferent. I talked a lot about indifference, about how sometimes, you know, indifference is lack of watering. Like if you're just indifferent, well then don't be surprised if things die in your life and in the garden. If you're in fact, indifference a lot of times is worse than hate. Because at least then there's an exchange of, I'm trying to communicate something to you about something I don't like, and you communicate back, and at least there's an exchange of communication there.
Exactly. You're taking a stand.
Well, you're taking a stand, and I don't mean violence. When I say hate, I don't mean violence. I mean anger. Maybe anger is a better term than hate. Anger. But when you're indifferent, and I talked to the kids about, and I referenced this last week about negative space. Sometimes the things that people don't say tell you more about how they feel than the things that they do, because their indifference speaks volumes. And I could never let that indifference in high school or throughout my career bother me if I was ignored. But I also used it as fuel. I used it to make sure that I found ways to be relevant. And more importantly, positive ways to be relevant. So when we come back from the break, I'm going to dig into the six additional things that I feel like I dug up while I was working in the garden. And we'll share those with everybody when we come back from the break. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1.
Welcome back to The Design Coach on Lake 96.1.
I know this is heady today, Mel. I get it, right?
But it's good.
It's just me, and like I've just decided, and you know this, I mean, over the past few shows, I've just sort of decided, like, you know, like if no one else is going to say it, I'm just going to have the conversations that I think are worthwhile, and hopefully they have a gravity all their own. And so as I talk about on Mother's Day especially, and happy Mother's Day to everybody out there, as I talk about this nurturing concept and making the connections between life and the garden, especially during spring planting season, as I make these connections, I'm going to cover the five things that I added to the blog.
Excellent.
Of lessons that I've learned from this activity. Number one was, and I'm going to jump right in here. The first was the pace of saturation matters. Give people time to absorb what you're attempting to communicate. We can be obsessed with the immediacy of gaining agreement on our perspective. And we push out words so quickly that all they really do is splash around. The same is true when you're in the garden. When you're watering, if you water too quickly, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but if you have a watering can and you water too quickly and the water comes out of the top spout that you filled it in, not actually the spout that it's supposed to, the sprinkle spout.
Exactly.
It splashes all over and runs off to the side of the plant and doesn't ever really reach and penetrate the roots where it really needs to be. The same can be said for our words. If all we are is obsessed with gaining an agreement instead of really communicating with one another, we're not going to get very far. Number 7. Recognize that individual species of flowers require slightly different care to achieve the same result. I'm going to say that again. Recognize that individual species of flowers, or people for that matter, require slightly different care to achieve the same result. You can't treat everything like it's just a flower. That being a student, as I described earlier in the show, being a student of what I was planting, being a student and putting the right plant in the right situation, is exactly the same way with people. That you can't just assume that what works for one child is going to work for another. You can't assume that what works for you will work for them. You can't do that. You have to have the conversation about understanding the organism, the plant, the person, the whatever, and try to put them in the right situation in order to prosper and grow. And then your job is to fertilize the soil, not necessarily to control the growth. Because if you've put the right nutrients in the soil and you've built the right foundation, the organic growth that you're going to get is going to be beyond your wildest dreams and imaginations. But you got to put in the work. And you've got to put people in the right situation. Don't just assume every flower is the same or every person is the same. Number 8. This one's going to sting a little bit, guys. Only the mindless fear maintenance. Let me say that again. Only the mindless fear maintenance. Yeah, I know that hurt a little bit, but it's true. The older I get, the more I realize that anything you want to last takes effort to maintain and requires constant care. Anything worthwhile. Relationships, people, traditions, love, marriages, you name it, it requires maintenance. And we are so wired to maintenance free. Because what? We don't want the hassle of living a full life? That's a hassle to us now? That my fear is that we begin to transplant our need for maintenance free to things that really matter, like people and situations and relationships and even politics. That we want it to be maintenance-free because we can't, what, be bothered? Are you kidding me? If I don't wake up every morning at 5 a.m. or water my plants at the end of the day, I have to live with the result of that. The same thing is true for my kids and for your relationships and whatever you want to bear fruit or whatever you want to blossom. It takes maintenance and care. Number 9, watering isn't enough. Sometimes all the flowers need is a little bit more time in the sun. You know, I think we're obsessed also with controlling the atmospheres. You know, the control freak in us is the suffocating cousin to the maintenance-free side of our psyche. This is what I say on the blog. I'm going to say that again. The control freak in us is the suffocating cousin to the maintenance-free side of our psyche. So tread lightly. Remember, sometimes the best thing you can do for a flowering plant is to be patient and let the environment in which you've created do the important work for you. People are the same way. Put them in a good position, give them the nurturing, the love, and the support that they need, and then it's on them, and let the environment that you've put them in help you do some of the work. It's the same way in the garden. You put in the work to create a great environment and amazing things blossom. 10. Newly planted flowers are the most deserving of our attention. This is kind of an important one, because what we tend to do is we tend to think that our life is not only is it not maintenance free, but that, you know, they say that, you know, there's this talk that life is a contact sport, right? Like that you know, you're going to get pushed and moved, right, and bent and pulled, and you know what I mean? It's, you know, no matter how hard we try, the mental part of our psyche has a lot to do with our physical health. You know, there's a huge link between our mental health and our physical well-being. And I'm a huge believer in that.
Me too.
You know, that if you harbor garbage and you harbor, you know, the things that have happened to you, if you hold on to all of that stuff instead of learning from it and then trying not to pay that forward, but trying to better your corner of the universe, that sometimes you can do more for the world by just focusing on your corner of the universe than trying to like take out the whole enchilada, right? Than trying to take on the entire thing.
Exactly.
There are people's wishes and dreams that are too big, when sometimes the best thing you can do is just focus on your immediate garden. And trust me, once you've crushed that, then you can move on to bigger ones. But it's really hard to impact the world on a grand scale unless you've really been doing the work on the micro. So I get it, guys. You wanna have a big impact? I do too. But it's not gonna start from out learning all of those skills in the micro. Tending to the small details. I say in the blog for number 10, I say, this is the time when they're trying to develop the root system that will ultimately show them how to survive and thrive in various conditions. Right? The minute you transplant something, the minute you plant something in the ground, that's when you need to be paying attention. It's like when you plant a tree. They say you got to constantly be watering it and keeping it soiled, but not too much, but just enough where you're constantly helping the root system grow. Are people any different? Young people? And it's not just young people. Maybe it's people who are just trying to start over and create new roots somewhere else. You know, I will always remember when we moved to the area and, you know, Mel, we knew no one up here. I don't know. Did you know anyone?
No, we did not.
I knew no one. I will never forget the people who extended the hand to Julie and I, who made us feel welcome, who went out of their way to get to know us. And some of those people, the interesting thing is some of those people I'm no longer friends with, but I'm always thankful to them for doing that, because they were helping us construct, grow, and develop our root system. And we were in our 30s. So when someone's trying to transplant their life and do something new, or whether it's, like I said, an aging mom or an aging parent or even a young kid or someone who's just trying to figure out their life somewhere in the middle, helping them develop their root system and being sensitive to that and empathetic to that is huge. You know, that's the time when they need your patience and support and nourishment the most. And so at the end of the blog, I say, you know, it's dedicated to high school students everywhere struggling to find their place in the garden of life. I think I've made the case on today's show that it's not just about high school students. They might have been the inspiration, but I think this applies to a lot of people. I think if you work hard and you're open to the endless possibilities, and as long as you're willing to try, and as long as you're willing to make the effort, you're going to find other people who are making the effort back. It's fascinating what you realize when you open up your arms and you embrace things. It's amazing what embraces you back. But remember, try not to be disappointed if the things that you try to embrace don't embrace you back. There's a lesson there too. And I think we get so obsessed with being bruised and how we feel about something that we get upset when the outcome isn't exactly the way that we want it to be. And that's the life lesson of planting in the garden, is that sometimes plants grow beyond our wildest imagination, and sometimes the most beautiful ones don't. Yet you have to be honest with yourself in the critique of, did I do everything that I could do to fertilize the soil? I know my mom did. I know Julie does. Happy Mother's Day, everyone. You've been listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Have a great Mother's Day. You've been coached.